fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too.
Well, here we are again. Leif Seeberg is here, Mr. Fishing Report. How you doing, Leif?
Quite nice. How you doing, Deputy D?
Hey, I'm doing good, but you know what? I ain't going fishing.
Especially
this time of year. This is partly why I'm so curious of what it is you're doing, because you do go fishing all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know I do. Hey, and today, you know, swung out.
Yeah.
Had a little bit extra time. Caught a couple tiger trout at the Freestone Inn.
Did you really?
Got to give them a plug. Boy, that's a great place.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, almost got the trifecta. Nice little rainbow and a couple of tiger trout in just a tiny amount of time.
How cool is that?
Yeah, got to like that place. So there's always something to do.
Yes.
Been out there doing it.
And that's why we have you come in. So
yeah.
But that isn't the only place. I mean, you've been in other moving water here lately.
Yeah, you know, some friends of mine and I, we took I finally took the opportunity to take up a friend on an offer to fish the Upper Columbia. And we've talked about this guy in the past, Brandon Whitelawer.
Oh, yeah.
He's, you know, a great guy. He's definitely, you know, like my doppelganger on the other side of the hill there over in the Colville area.
Yeah.
He just kind of knows that whole area like the back of his hand. And you save yourself a lot of time and just asking the locals where to go. And finally, you know, I think he was probably starting to believe I would never get over there. We were fishing and, you know, this particular place that he likes to fish over there. And it's because that he sees some of the native red bands, or what would basically be steelhead if they weren't unable to come back up over these dams. They're stuck up there, and sometimes they'll drop down through the dams, but can't get back up right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get into these guys versus, you know, like a hatchery rainbow trout, based on not only size, but appearance of these fish and how they act. It's a steelhead. You know, you're holding it in your hand, and you're just like, holy cow. And technically not a steelhead because it never got to the ocean, but it's got the genetics of the fish, the red band trout that were there.
Are there any
and doing this before the dams.
Well, I'm curious. Now, are there any ways that these fish are different? Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, from their migrating, you know, relatives.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I haven't seen the particular genetic studies on these fish, but I know that they have done studies on the Upper Columbia red bands, and they are, you know, just basically a steelhead that can't make its migration anymore. And you see them kind of residualize in Lake Roosevelt, and then they'll head up into the tributaries this time of the year, just like our steelhead are doing. Tributaries like the Sandpoil, the Kettle, the Colville, and a lot of these, you know, I think some of these creeks over there, like Sheep Creek, and some of these are pretty good size too. And they really love a good tributary, and that's kind of everything out there.
So lifespan? Do they live as long? Do they get bigger?
Yeah,
they look,
you know,
any different?
They're just like steelhead in the way, or in a lot of the native red band trout, and they're probably going to have about a 5 to 8 year lifespan.
Okay.
They could possibly spawn 1, 2, 3 times. Being an inland fish, you know, they probably have it a lot easier. They're not getting taken out in these attempts to migrate necessarily. Also, though, their habitats have been, you know, degraded or changed. So it's just not really, they're kind of doing everything they're doing on their own. And there's no real management per se. Well, I mean, there's management as far as not allowing you to take some of these fish in some of these places, but not such a vigorous management as we have downstream with these ESA listed fish.
I always think it's interesting to see the adaptability that these different fish have. You know, it's like not what they'd be doing if they had free run of the river, but there is an option that they end up doing.
I like to think that they're just so tough, they're not willing to just roll over and give up, you know, and so they just adjust. And they've been carrying on for quite some time. And, you know, maybe given a chance someday, you know, if we get these dams opened up as far as fish passage, we might see them attempting to do that again in the future.
That would be interesting to see if they can kind of adapt back to wild behavior.
It sure would be.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a lot of these cases, you can take a hatchery fish that's, you know, from somewhere else and try to re-enhance a stream with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just won't take. There's really no better genes than the genes that are endemic to that stream or native to that stream.
I see.
Absolutely. And I've even, like with the Spokane red bands, I've seen reports, their genetic reports, where even though they had hatchery rainbows stocked right on top of them for years and years and years, because it's such a specialized environment, this hot desert environment, fluctuating temperatures from really mm-hmm. cold at night to really hot in the day.
Yeah.
So small water conditions. It just the genetics kind of wash out over time if you stop planting these hatchery fish in there, because whoever came from those hatchery fish just aren't as fit to be in that environment as those that evolved there. So it's pretty simple, and given time, nature likes to try to heal herself for sure.
Yep. Well, that's kind of why I like doing this fish report, because it's good to know that there's
a couple rays of hope out there.
Yes, and it's bigger than we can understand, and it's definitely bigger than we can manipulate.
Absolutely. And I just try to, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in your own pessimism sometimes or whatever, but you just, you know, always try to help mm-hmm. Mother Nature as much as you can, but also have faith that given the chance, she'll succeed.
Yeah. Well, so did you cover that fishing trip that you went up?
Yeah, you know, we got into some incredible fish there. We got into some that were obviously some hatchery fish. Mm-hmm. Two in particular, though, that just short of a genetic analysis, I'm fairly positive they were native red bands.
Cool.
One of them was a female that I got. She was probably about 28 inches, about 8 pounds, a little over 8 pounds. First fish to take me into my backing in quite some time on a 6-weight rod. So that's, I mean, that thing is built for a big fish. And I saw my backing 2 different times. So she was more than 200 cool. feet away from me, you know, and just flying. And I thought she wasn't going to give up. And then a good friend of mine, or Brandon there, and he had a good friend of his out, and now a good friend of mine, he got into a really, really nice male, which is just something to see, because with these, a lot of these hatchery fish, you're going to have triploids, and so you're going to have a lot of those be females. So oftentimes, most people aren't even knowing that all they're ever seeing is like a female mm-hmm. rainbow mm-hmm. trout a lot of the time. But boy, you sure know it when you see a mature male. This thing had like a, you know, the kipe, the curved nose. Uh-huh. But in this case, he had like the underbite coming up and splitting his upper lip.
Wow.
And it was just this amazing, like just monstrosity looking guy. And he, I mean, just, you know, really nice features, definitely mature, had definitely had a few years of spawning under his belt. And holy cow, was he too saw his backing a couple times on that fish. And and the nice thing about this fishery is that it's open year round. So that's one thing we can do through mm-hmm. the winter. We don't mm-hmm. have a steelhead season per se, but we have some fish that are very much like steelhead to go after. And then as well, you know, things like Omak Lake. I just got a few really good reports from there. There's been some type of minnow run. I wouldn't doubt if maybe that minnow run has come out of the back of a hatchery truck in the form of like the hatchery doing their fall stocking. Because I know in the spring too, when they put the baby Lahontans in there, uh-huh. they kind of come in and gorge themselves on them.
Oh,
so guys have been taking the chance to go out there and strip the bug-eyed minnows that just look like a little uh-huh. little fry that came out of the back of a truck. And those guys are beaching themselves again after fish, like we were talking about this spring, which is not always the case with Lahontans. You know, we're always talking about April for them. So
yeah.
There again, that is a all winter fishery. Yeah. That water is so alkaline, it will not freeze. You're going to have to go deep later. But anytime you hear reports like that one, you know, you can probably bet that it's time to get over and hit that too.
Yeah, and I'll bet you're not going to wait so long to get over and fish the Columbia again.
Oh no, not at all, man.
Sounds like that was awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible. It's kind of my new favorite place.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I always knew I would like it. I just I thought it was a little further away, but didn't take us too long to get there. So
cool.
I think I'm definitely heading back there as soon as I can, and still looking at hoping to get that kettle trip in before it gets too late. We'll see. We'll mm-hmm. see how things work out here.
Things are moving along.
Things are progressing. Things are getting cold.
But I gotta say, it looks like the time period of 2 weeks later than kind of what you'd predict uh-huh. is holding true again.
And that's what they're saying, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we've been saying.
That's what I've been saying.
That's what we've been saying all summer long.
Yeah. And I remember that guy saying that.
Yeah, and here we are again saying that.
Yeah, it's just we're cranking the dial around, and it's been consistent, and it's inconsistency anyway.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting as we watch weather, as we watch rivers to see what's going to happen.
That river's coming up again. We got the Skagit-Methow happening, I'm calling it. I moved back from going to school there in Bellingham, and it looked like it followed me home.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I brought Bellingham here, guys.
Oh, I hope not.
You know, there's still stuff happening here, though. Still open water, still year-round lakes, and I've still been fishing some of those and getting some huge fish out of them, too.
Cool.
If anybody needs some info on that. They can always keep up with us on Facebook. That's probably the quickest way day to day. Or give me a call, 509-429-7298. Or drop me a line at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. Be kind to one another. Get that fish. Right on.
Right on. Fishing. Mama gonna fish it. Baby gonna fish it too.